Chef Eric.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm making some aioli.
Oh, well, welcome back, my friends. It's Chef of the Fat Man to Blue Collar Chefs. And Luscious Lou is in the house, and she is the manager of Cutter Cigar Emporium. Settle down, Markel. You like dark chocolate. Just settle down.
I like blue, too.
Oh, okay. Well, one out of two ain't bad. But anyway, my friends, welcome back. We are Chef of the Fat Man live at our home away from home. It is Cutter Cigar Emporium. This is a place where you can come and watch an incredible show. And a little later on in the show, we're going to tell you about some absolutely kick-butt events that are coming up here at Cutter's that you're going to want to be at, because the food will be great, the cigars will be great, and I won't spoil it because we'll talk about it a little later on. But you want to get them on your calendar. You're going to want to be here. Seating is limited, so you're going to definitely want to be here. Chef Eric, now, when we last left you,
yes,
a question from the audience was, why? Now you sound like a dentist's office. There you go.
Doing a little blending.
Yes. When we last left you, one of the ladies who has no taste in chocolate in the audience was asking a question. We were talking about what you were going to start off with, because you have a propensity for telling me what you're going to start off with and then changing it after I announce it.
Yes, yes, I do.
And she said, well, if you're going to start off with that recipe, why are you doing what you were doing with the cabbage?
Right, so what I was doing with the cabbage, just so everyone knows, is I was blanching it in some hot water. I've done a few things so far. I took some basil, about half a cup of basil, and blanched that for about 10, 15 seconds. Then you rinse it off with cold water. You can put it in an ice bath as well. That's going to be for our aioli for the lobster fritters. For our egg rolls, we needed some cabbage. So after I boiled the lobster tail, which needs to be cool for those fritters,
mm-hmm.
I then took some cabbage that I shredded up and threw it in the same water as the lobster, because it's going to give it some additional little flavoring
nice flavor,
to it.
Yeah.
And that is now blanched and sitting out, so I'm going to let that cool. And then we'll get started now with our venison.
So now that you're not actually going to do the recipe, you're just going to start the venison, right?
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is we need the venison to be cooked almost all the way prior to going into the egg roll, right? I don't want to finish cooking proteins in the egg roll. So as a result, we'll start now with browning them, and actually going beyond that, we're going to go to a rare, bordering on mid-rare, but probably just a rare, and then we'll pull them off, let them rest, then we'll cut them and incorporate them into the rest of the dish.
And I want you to know the sounds he was making in the background that you heard, kind of like you would hear in a doctor's office, you know? That is Chef Eric putting on his safety gloves, because he believes, as we all do at Chef and a Fat Man, in absolutely having safe food. Now, I see a couple of people in the audience were going, like,
say,
I was going to say something crude or vulgar.
Yeah. Gosh forbid.
That's exactly right. But anyway, now, venison, this is great, because so many people with venison, they get it stuck in their mind. You put it in stew, you put it in chili, or you just fry it. But you are showing people that venison can be so much more creative.
Yeah, you know, you can treat venison. There's a few fundamental things that I always do with venison that I think makes a little bit of a difference. One of those things is to always have some sort of sweetness to cut any gaminess in the venison. Now, I'll tell you, most of the venison that we get from John has never been gamey anyway.
Well,
so,
you know why? Because he dresses it immediately. And that's,
yeah.
And when you're hunting, the hunters know this. As soon as it's harvested from the field, you want to get it field dressed and to the processor ASAP. The faster you do it, and the faster you do both of those things, the less gaminess you have. And also
how you take it. I mean,
yes.
if it's you know, sitting by a stream drinking peacefully, you get it with one arrow, which he bow hunts, and drop it. It's good.
Yeah.
If it takes off and you've got to track it for the next 2 hours or 3 hours, it's not going to be good, because the adrenaline's flowing through the meat, and it's just not going
to
work.
But why did you have to draw that beautiful picture of
Bambi by the
Bambi
the pond?
By the water? That's just, that really, you know how many years we hunters have had to fight that thing, you know, because, first of all, Bambi was a fictional character. So forget about Bambi, all right? Forget about the cute little thing on the cartoon. But this is a, something that, as a hunter for many years and doing a hunting fishing show in my previous life, you would not believe the ugliness of emails of people talking about how vulgar, how vile, how disgusting, how despicable it was to take such a beautiful animal until it starts getting in their yard and their garden and eating everything and everything around it. Then they're the ones that want to poison it. Oh, there you go, poisoning. That's so much more healthy.
Humane.
Yes, it's so humane. So the thing staggers around for a couple hours before it drops. Instead, you take one shot, bang, you know. I had to mention that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's a valid... people don't know where their food comes from, and that's unfortunate, because that's why people get so lost in all that nonsense.
Yes,
so I appreciate those that go out and hunt. I don't, not because I don't believe in it, just because I don't have time.
Well, that's not the only reason. Because... What? Can you imagine Chef Eric's deer stand? It would be two stories. He would have a service entrance on the back. It would be he would have a wine chiller at the top, and Jeeves would be exhausted running up the natural ingredients and the food so his cook could prepare it for him while he's waiting for the deer to approach.
But the question is, would the humidor be inside or outside the stand?
He would keep it inside.
No, it would have to be inside.
Yeah, yes.
Clearly.
See?
Clearly.
Now, for those of us who hunted, now, I was not a stalker, kind of hunter. I had a deer stand, but not anything like Chef Eric. It would cost about 40 large to have a deer stand for Chef Eric. And
you know, you're just making stuff up now.
Just telling you.
So honestly, I don't hunt. I love guns, so I wish I could, but I just don't have time.
Just two-legged. So. Just saying. But anyway, so now you've got...
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
And if you doubt my word, wait till you see the first person that dates his daughter. I'm just saying, you know, when they come to the door and they say, how you doing, Mr. Holdo, and he sold an AK-47 and he's cleaning, it kind of takes away from the whole romantic.
That actually is exactly what happened.
See?
But now he's a Army sniper. So.
Ah, well.
He was a good kid, actually.
So anyway, you've got some beautiful tenderloin. And the thing is, and for those who have never had venison, got to understand, this has not got a lot of
fat
to work with.
Right, so I'm actually pan frying this in butter and a little bit of olive oil.
Nice.
A little bit of salt and a little bit of Chef and the Fat Man love rub.
Absolutely, because that's right. And why do we use love rub? And the instructions are very simple.
That's true.
And what are the instructions?
If you rub your meat at night, it will always treat you right.
Absolutely right.
The next morning when you wake up after you rub it and you refrigerate it,
yes.
And, you know, it'll get that rub in and it'll be great.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you're...
I saw Ryan over there chuckling.
Okay.
You know, Tracy was like looking at... Well, you know, Tracy had a culinary experience a while back that she shared with us. She was down in New Orleans. She worked down there for quite a while. And she was actually given the opportunity, afforded the opportunity to have rabbit balls. And
Rabbit, I'm sorry?
Rabbit balls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, she had the question that logical person would be, well, how do you harvest from such a small animal? And then she realized, no, she was told, no, it's the meat. I'm just saying. It's a gamey thing, you know, I mean.
They actually do sell the huevos. Of the rabbit. It is actually a thing. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that something? Was that the side dish to your pigeon heads?
No, but
China?
It is. I'm just telling you, it is. So, yeah, don't be too surprised. Next time if you try rabbit balls, they look a little smaller.
you border beyond sick.
It's true.
Now, I have hunted for years. I have eaten at gamey restaurants for years, and never once have I seen or have I even heard anybody discuss rabbit huevos?
Well, have you ever had buck balls?
No.
Okay, Rocky Mountain oysters?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so you're obviously not interested in that organ meat anyway.
Yeah, well, let's get back to the tenderloin.
You brought it up, exactly.
Well, I know, but see, that's part of being the quick and witty host. You bring it up, you cause the fighting, and then you back out gracefully and make everybody else look crude and vulgar. That's what I do.
Is that what it is?
The sizzling, but that just smells. I mean, this is just one of those things for the audience.
That's the smell of good venison.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what we're doing here is we're pan frying them. I want to build up a little bit of a crust on both sides. It's not going to overcook it. I don't want to overcook the venison. So we're still rare, so that's good. We're going to go just past rare, right before mid-rare.
About what, about $1.25, $1.30?
Yeah, at most.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's going to, again, it will continue to heat in two segments. One, we're going to add the cabbage, add the leeks, and we're actually going to use, if possible, we're going to use this butter that we've got in here to do it. So we've got a brown butter to start with. I'm going to turn down the heat a little bit because this is going to start carrying over.
And when we come back, we're going to carry this over to our next segment, Chef of the Fat Man Live from Cutter's Cigar Emporium in beautiful Alpharetta, Georgia. We're sizzling up the Bambi.